Welcome to worship this last Sunday of April. You guys, we have almost made it through another month in this rather strange season, and we continue to gather together the best we can to seek encouragement and joy and strength from our Lord, who is indeed with us, who is for us. And leaning into Him together, we continue to press on for whatever the next day, the next week has in store. Our God is good, and I pray that as we worship in this place, you at your home with the people around you, that you will feel His presence in a real good way this morning, for God indeed is near. As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Isaiah 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Would you pray with me? Oh, living God, we come to you this morning on week something of the season we're in. And all of us have different places of weariness. And so we are leaning on your promise that you are the everlasting God, powerful and good, and that you are the great renewer of tired bodies. You are the great restorer of feeble faith. So we lean into you. We ask for you to pour into us. Would your heart be pleased as we lift our voices in song and in prayer? And would our hearts be filled as we open them up to receive from you? We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You've got a Bible handy if you will open it to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Would you pray with me? Father God, we turn to your word because we believe through your Spirit it is the living word. We turn to your word because we believe you are a good father who wants to speak to your children who are looking to you. We turn to your word because we believe that you know our hearts like none other. You know those places that we need a little boost this week. And you know just what we need to receive from you to get that. And we turn to your word because we don't want to be Lord of our own lives. We want you to speak into them. And so here we are, your servants, O God. Would you speak? For we are listening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When the newness wears off, you been there before? You see it with a kid when it's their first time on an airplane. It seems that for like the first 30 minutes, everything is amazing. They lift up and down the shade, the tray table, up and down, touch all the buttons above their head. They can't stop looking out the window, just marveling at what it is to be above everything. Then fast forward 20 minutes in the air, and they're done. They're over it. Tired of being cramped in this little tiny seat and tired of now only seeing the same thing out the window, just clouds and more clouds. They want to move. They want to get out. They want to be free. They're over it. The newness wears off. That's right about the time the parents start reaching for the tablets and the snacks. Maybe for you it was an exciting new job that was going to be exactly what you've always been looking for. And a few weeks in, you realized it was just another job. The newness wears off. Maybe it was a new hobby that you were sure you were going to pour yourself fully into, like me and my horses. Maybe it was you and your painting or you and your golf. And you went and you got all the supplies you would need. You got all the paints and the easels and the brushes. And you went into debt on the perfect set of clubs. And here you are months, years later, and there they are collecting dust in the garage. The newness wore off. Maybe for all of us, it's this strange season that we find ourselves in. You know, it was a Friday, 43 days ago, that parents got word that your kids wouldn't be going to school that next Monday. That means it's been well over a month since some of you last stepped foot into your usual job. It's been well over a month since some of your jobs have become so intense that it's almost unsustainable. It's been well over a month since the news quit incessantly talking about an upcoming election. Notice you don't hear that anymore. And instead now it's talking nonstop about this invisible threat. It's been over a month ago that these full calendars became empty squares, questions of how to fill our time. Over a month ago since your favorite restaurant closed, and now you've begun cooking. And you know, I believe there was a moment in this newness, daunting as it was, that also seemed a little bit inviting and refreshing. We were grieved, for sure, even afraid as we thought about the danger and the damage of this very real sickness, this very real thing. And even as we carried that heaviness in our hearts, at the same time, there was this part of us that was kind of looking forward to a little bit of permission to breathe a little and to reconnect with those people in our very own home, and to be more hands-on in our kids' education, and to get to wear our pajamas all day, to get to read some good books that have been stacking up. But I've been listening to you guys, and more, it seems by each day, the reports are trickling in. And if I have a good gauge on things, I think it's safe to say the newness is wearing off. Or maybe it's dead and gone. I'm hearing from you, and you're saying, you know, my kids are a lot more fun when I'm not having to teach them math. And this cooking stuff is overrated, and all these books are starting to sound the same. I can't stare at a black and white page for 5 more minutes. I am over it. And all you want is for this season to be something that we talk about that happened once, but not something that we're leaning into a new week and it's still happening. What do Jesus people do when the newness wears off? Good news this morning. It turns out the story of Scripture is full of God's people walking through hard, long seasons that they would rather not be in. They're learning how to keep on keeping on in this thing called faithfulness long after the newness wears off. We look to them and we ask, what did they do to stay on course? When they actually did stay on course. In their stories, they make up this great cloud of witnesses that the author of Hebrews refers to. It's those people who have gone before us and whose example in the faith helps us figure out how to run this race we're in with perseverance and faithfulness just the same. Their stories are there in this cloud of witnesses for a real reason, and that is to give us real insight on how to keep our eyes on Jesus and one foot in front of another when the path is just plain hard and there's no real clear end in sight. Who's in this cloud of witnesses? What do their stories tell us? We're going to look at just a few of them today. Some of the folks in this cloud of witnesses, the Israelites. Let's just stand in their sandals for a moment. On those very first days, as they found themselves free people in the wilderness. Just like that, their whole story changed. They were no longer being waken up before dawn by some ridiculous Egyptian overlord. They no longer heard in their midst the sound of cracking whips. Their aching joints finally were getting some relief. They had this whole new territory to be explored. And you can imagine their kids were running free like they had never done before. What an adventure they were on with their God. They may have even started to dream about how fun it might be to homeschool or tent school these little kiddos. This was a new season. It was a little scary for sure, but it was exciting and it was promising. Fast forward a few days, maybe a couple weeks. And for Israel, the newness wears off. Turns out that food and water are hard to come by in the wilderness. Jobs are lost. Granted, they hated their job back in Egypt, but there was still something about having a place to show up to in the morning. The elements were harsh. Wilderness living wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And the thing is, they had 40 years of it coming. But for 39 years, 11 months and 3 weeks, they were over it. Over it. So how did Israel stay grounded in this long, hard season? Well, they didn't always. I mean, in the wilderness, golden calves were erected and people were killed off and doubters got them stuck in that place longer and longer. It wasn't always great. They didn't always nail it. But there were some days that were good days in this long, hard season. You see, it was in the wilderness where the tabernacle was built. That's that tent that would house the presence of God in their midst. And when the tabernacle was finished, Exodus 40 says, the glory of the Lord rested on it and filled that place. And from that moment on, the Israelites would keep their eye on the tabernacle. And if the cloud was resting on it, they knew their God was speaking to them, saying, stay put. And if the cloud would lift up, they knew their God was saying, okay, move ahead. They had this visible picture of the presence of God right in the middle of their camp in the wilderness. And so then at every stage of their long, hard journey, the people could keep their eyes and their hearts on the presence of God. And keeping their eyes on Him, they made it through long after the newness had worn off. These voices speak to us in our own hard season. And if you're listening, what they're saying is keep your eyes on Jesus. My friends, if you're watching more news or Netflix or scrolling more Facebook in these days, then you're leaning into His word and soaking up His voice you're going to start roaming aimlessly in this wilderness place. Eyes on him. You will know when to stay put and when to get moving. Eyes on him, and you will remember that even though it's hard, you are right where God wants you to be able to reveal something of himself to you. My friends, for whom the nearness has worn off, just try this. Incorporate a few new practices in your life this week that will help you keep your eyes on the presence of Jesus in your midst, because he is there. How do I do that, we ask? Tons of ways. Here's just a few that I've come up with just this week. My friend Eric, who pastors in Spokane, he said that he's encouraged his congregation to build little sanctuaries in their homes. He said, have fun with it, but make this place in your home, right there central where you see it. And that's the place you go to when you're ready to turn your heart to God and worship. And whenever you're not praying or attending worship service, see that place as this constant invitation of God's presence with you, saying, come and be with me whenever you want. Build a sanctuary in your home. Let your kids help you with it. They'll love it. 3 mornings a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, 9 a.m., I'm leading us in prayer and scripture reading on Facebook Live. We're starting our days with our eyes on Jesus, and it's changing me. And I've heard some of you that it's totally changing the way you walk through this season. Join us. It's right there. Maybe you say, I work, I can't do any of these things. Here's what you can do. On your phone, set an alarm clock for like every 2-3 hours throughout the day. And when that alarm goes off, let that be your heart's invitation to turn for just a moment to recognize the presence of God in your midst. And simply say, my God, here I am before you, leaning on you once again. You see, when we tabernacle with the living God, every moment is a new opportunity to be led by him, even in those wilderness places that we are so over. Even when the newness has worn off, he still has something new to do in us. Who else is in that cloud of witnesses? Some of the Israelites who come up later in the story. After these people had entered the promised land and enjoyed it for several generations and then gotten in trouble again and then got sent out into exile in Babylon. Jeremiah, he's a prophet to Israel during this exile time when they're forced to live in this foreign place with foreign gods, with foreign rulers, this place that they don't particularly want to be. And now don't get me wrong. They might have liked Babylon at least a little bit at first. I mean, here it was, this wealthy, developed nation. I bet that the fancy homes and the palaces and the paved streets and the exciting nightlife caught their attention for at least a little while, kind of like an extended vacation in this Babylon place. But give it just a few weeks, and they were ready to go home. They were ready to get back to this normal life they had left. The newness had worn off. In Jeremiah 29, the prophet is writing to these people in exile. And it seems that they've had different false prophets rise up among them. And what these false prophets are telling them is, it's going to be over soon. Don't worry. So just sit back and wait this one out. And Jeremiah speaks up with confidence, orders of a totally different way of living in this hard, prolonged season. He says, you guys, I have the word from God. And here's what he says. Don't sit this one out. He says, build houses and live in them. plant gardens and eat the fruit that they produce. Make plans for your children to get married. Multiply right there in exile. He says, seek the welfare of the city while you're living in it. And don't you forget to pray for it. What's Jeremiah saying to a whole group of people who are over it? The newness of Babylon has worn off, and they're determined to just wait things out until they get their normal life back. He's saying, stop that. That's not the way to do it. Don't you dare wait to live. He says, get busy building homes, planting gardens, having babies, doing good, praying up a storm. Jeremiah says, God says, you're going to be here for a while. Turn out to be 80 years. He says, so live right here. Don't sit back and wait it out. This is your season, people of God, to live. So get to it. Now, I hope that our exile isn't 80 years. But what if it's 8 more days? Or what if it's 8 more weeks? Are we just going to Netflix binge our way through it? Are we just going to sit back and wait this one out until what we think is normal returns? You see, if we just keep waiting for when the old days are back, we may be waiting a really long time to start living. Here, now. Stir up life around you. Invest deeply in the relationships before you, here, now. Seek the good of this community with all the heart and imagination you can muster up, here, now. Pray today as if God's will in your life and in this place depends on it, here, now. People of God, Jeremiah says, even in hard, long seasons, you don't get to check out of life. Show up to it. There are no Jesus people sitting this one out. Get to living here, now. How do we do that, we ask? Just some simple ideas I scribbled down. Plant something this week. Cultivate life. Feed the birds. Care for someone in our community. Think about our seniors in high school. Think about our senior adults. Think about your next door neighbor. Commit to playing and laughing every day. And know that line was not just for the kids. Grown-ups, are you playing? When's the last time you had a really good laugh? If that didn't happen this week, you're doing it wrong. Live. Make healthy choices. Care for your body so you actually feel like living. Choose to live this season up, not sit it out. It's a choice. Even when the newness has worn off. Who else do we find in that gray cloud of witnesses? I find Daniel there. He was one of those who was sent to Babylon. He was one of Israel's finest young men, smart, handsome, strong. So it's no surprise that King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, chose Daniel for his palace. And you know, Daniel might have thought that that was kind of a cool situation for a moment. Given a room in the palace, a seat at the king's table for every meal. As you can imagine, if you haven't caught the theme yet, that newness wore off. With this new place, Daniel soon realized came new expectations. That he would have to choose daily, it seemed, between a pagan king and his holy God. And every single time, Daniel chose his God. Daniel refused to eat the king's food. Instead, he requested this diet that lined up with God's commands, knowing that might put him on the outs. When he was told to stop praying, he still bowed down to God. And you know where he did it? Right by his front window for everyone to see. You see, Daniel used his exile place to stay on mission, daring to live out another way for all those Babylonians to see. And it wasn't always fun and exciting and smooth sailing for Daniel. If you remember his story, he's that one who got to spend a night in a pit with three hungry lions. And yet, every moment in that hard place, Daniel knew that he was in this season for a purpose. It was there that his faith was tested and proven to be the real deal. It was there that he showed up fully to God's mission for his life. And I believe from our cloud of witnesses this morning, Daniel is calling out to those of us who are weary and over it. And I believe if we're listening, what he's saying is, stay on mission. Stay on mission. After the newness has worn off and you're done, stay on mission. Kids, keep writing to your pen pals, especially this far in. You all did it the first week, and that was awesome. Especially now, though, things have gotten harder for them, and you're kind of over this writing letter stuff. I get it. So now you get to do it less for fun and more because it's right, and you get to be on mission. Kids, stick with it, even when it's hard. Adults, keep showing another way to be in this place. Keep living out another story by how you present yourself on social media, by the way you reach out to your neighbors, by who you consider to be your neighbors, by the way you interact with anxious strangers in the stores. You notice people are a little more on edge. Show another way. These long, hard seasons are when God's people have always shined the most. Let's stay on mission and live out another way. Simple idea for how to do that this week. Every week, every morning, start the week, start the day with the simple Lord's Prayer. And when you get to that part where you pray from your heart, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Stop right there. And ask God this question. Now, God, what might it look like for your kingdom, for your will to come through me in this place on this day? And then just listen for the nudges on your heart, the things he brings to mind, and everything he brings to you, write it down. Write it down. And then start your day on mission with your God. Stay on mission. Even when the newness wears off, mission doesn't contingent on newness. Who else is in the great cloud of witnesses? We find Paul there. And you know, Paul knows all about long, hard seasons, does he not? In Philippians, he's writing, do you know from where? From a prison cell. Nothing new and exciting about that, even on the first day. And yet it's in that hard quarantine place that Paul pens these words that you're probably familiar with. And if you are, you can say them with me. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, with thanksgiving, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God, and the God of all peace will fill your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What to do to stay faithful? Paul's speaking to us, is he not? What to do to keep on keeping on when the newness wears off? How about just trying this? Choose gratitude. Rejoice. Turns out it's a choice. You see, we can spend our time in this hard place just grumbling or rejoicing. One's really easy. One takes some faith. One leads to growth in this season. The other one will slowly kill you. You choose. My friend Guy this week shared his need that he's a small business owner. And he's been out of work for over a month, just like most of you guys have. And so he applied for the small business loan. He applied for $10,000, which is not extreme, just to meet the basic needs. And his loan grant gift came in on Monday for $1,000. And he had two options for what to do with that. He could have grumbled about the $9,000 that didn't come through. We all know that $1,000 goes pretty fast this day and time. Or he could focus on the gift that was and give thanks. And he put out a message for the world that simply said, "I'm so grateful. Thank you for taking care of my needs." He focused on the gift that was and not that margin that was not. Choose gratitude, and you are free to live. What good does it do to think about the 9,000 and complain and grumble? It's not coming. Enjoy what is. Be grateful. What else can we do, according to Paul? Be gentle to everyone, he says. You're like, yeah, easy for him to say. Do you realize that Paul says this as he is surrounded by obnoxious Roman prison guards? Everyone, he emphasizes. You see, in this season, everyone is on edge. Everyone. Those who are working are exhausted and worn out. Those who are home are going stir crazy. If you've noticed, when you go to the store, people will hardly even look at each other. It's like everyone is seen as a potential threat to my well-being. My friends, choose gentleness. When people are short with you, the best you can, choose grace. When those in your own home are just shouting louder and louder, try to show another way. We'll mess up because we're on the edge too. But gentleness, it will calm your heart and those around you every time. And then Paul says, remember, the Lord is near. He's with us. That sanctuary that you set up in your house and those alarms that you're going to be setting, they will help you be grounded in this. And then he says, turn your worries into prayer. Just keep talking to God. He's listening. He cares. Talk to him. See, Paul was stuck in a place where it really seemed nothing good could come from it. A prison cell. And right there, he gave thanks, treated others with kindness, drew near to Jesus, and turned his worries into prayers. And from that place, he wrote a letter that still speaks to our hard places 2,000 years later. Turns out our God can use these seasons in our lives even after the newness has worn off. Will we let him? My friends, would you just hear this from my heart to yours this morning? All will be well. All shall be well. All manner of things will be made well. We will be okay. God will be good to us. God is being good to us. Things don't have to be fun or new for them to be good for us, for them to be a gift to us. So may God's goodness be seen in this long, hard season. This morning, might we renew our commitment to just keep on keeping on, to keep running this race before us with perseverance, remembering those who have faithfully walked before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, even after the newness is gone. Eyes on Jesus. We're going to be okay. Eyes on Jesus. And keep on keeping on. Eyes on Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, here we are on day 40-something. We turn our eyes and our hearts to you again. We have so much for which to be grateful. We name those things to you in our own places of worship. We have our own worries. We follow Paul's example and turn those into prayer. We have our own calls to be on mission and to live. And we recommit in these moments to say yes to both. Thank you, God, for a new week to get to keep on this adventure with you, even when it's hard. What a gift. We love you, O God, because you first loved us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.